Blog Talk Radio.
Ho!
Got a brother wanting it so bad I'm about to pass. I'm gonna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby. Just alleviate your clothes, I'm the fly about it. Catch you at the club, your hips have got me feeling. Body talking quick to me, but I can't comprehend the meaning. Now if you wanna roll with me, then here's your chance. I'm an 80 on the freeway, catch me if you can. Forgive me, I'm a rider, still I'm just a simple man. All I want is money plus the fame, I'm a simple man. Mr. International, player with a passport. Just like a Latin switch, get you anything you ask for. Either him or me. Champagne, Hennessy, favor of my homies when we fall on our enemies. Witness as we creep to a low speed. What my foes need, make some OGs from you don't need. Approaching women with a passion for a long day. But I've been driven by attraction in a strong way. Your body is banging, baby, I love the way you're flowing. Time to give it to daddy sugar, now tell me how you want it. Man, that you can trust, not just a fool in lust. Coming to get you on the bus, it's so ironic. Exotic on the verge of erotic. I'm hitting switches on misses. My cop is fixed with hydraulics. My up and down like a roller coaster. Gonna come inside you, I ain't stopping till the show is over. Cause I'm about to in and out, just like a robbery. I'll probably be a freak and let you get on top of me. Either I can ease, nice full Alice. A living legend, you ain't heard about them players living Cali days. Dolores took me, you were fake to me. Instead of trying to help a brother, wanna take a tease. Mistaking me for Bill Clinton, Mr. Bob Dole. It's too old to understand the way the game's tough. You're lame, so I gotta hit you with the hot track. Once I'm released, I'm making millions trying to top that. They wanna censor me, they'd rather see me in my cell. Just different hell, only a few of us are lit in jail. Now everybody talking about us, I ain't giving up. The very ones that taught us all to cut. Come on, tell me how you vote. How you want it?
How do you always feel? How do you feel? Coming up at a blue in a cash game, living in a fast lane, I'm real.
I was raised as a youth, so the truth I got the scoop on how to get a bulletproof. Sex busting off the roof, but when I was a teenager, mobile phones got paid to game rules. I'm living major, my adversaries is getting bubby. They paranoid, they're getting bubby. One of us gon' see the cemetery. They wonder if my lifestyle's changed, and am I through with all the pain? Surviving in this game, and still the same. Honey, just meet me at the strip club, bring a thong. Look how they shaking for that cash, what's getting song? I had no sympathy for those who played a mystery. Come get with me, I promise passion and ecstasy. I'm alone, can I come over there tonight? Depend on me, the one to handle it and get it right. Your body is...
Wow, wow, I could just bounce with that. And we don't own the rights to that song, but we just like good music. I am Dr. Larissa D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. So excited to come before you on one wonderful Wednesday. Hump day, some people say. So we're trying to make things do what it do on today. So just get ready for an awesome show. We're going to talk about some historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. The call-in number for the show is 347-857-4192. Or you can go to the web link if you just want to listen to the show. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. So, again, our title is fitting for tonight's show because we're at this time of the year in athletics or in sports, whether it's professional, whether it's collegiate, high school, or wherever it may be, about talking about winning football. And that's what it's going to be all about. We're going to talk about these championships that occurred in each of these divisions, especially particularly in historical black colleges and universities, as well as we'll look at some Power Five, and then we'll move down to the college to see exactly did the College Football Playoff Committee get it right. So, again, we're going to have an awesome show. We thank you for join us on Facebook. We have several people on Facebook. Thank you again. Also on Blog Talk Radio, we have them coming in as well, signing in. We're waiting on the team to join us as well. We're excited because I always go back to 2 years ago on August the 27th, 2017. God blessed me with a vision. At the time, I was living in South Florida, down in Sunrise, which is adjacent to Fort Lauderdale. And I always wanted to kind of get into the broadcasting business. I retired from being a long-time educator, and I gave my time and worked hard in education, training everybody else. So this passion just came about and said, I need to do this. I need to make it happen. So he gave me this vision, and we're able to be broadcast in 16 countries. So we're so excited about that, and that's through the Smith Way production. We have several other shows that we are broadcasting throughout the week. Not every day of the week, but we rotate on some days of the week, and others we take time off. Now, tonight is Wednesday. We have this show every Wednesday. We have a preview show that comes on at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and then we roll back with the show now at 8 o'clock, which is the prime time show. So, again, let's talk some winning football. Before I move into that, I want to wait until my team is joining, and they'll be calling as well. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can go to at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven, and at Coach with the K underscore L underscore Smith. Now, those individuals, and I'm gonna give them that introduction, but I like to kind of make glass in it. I'm excited about having a chance to do that and introduce these individuals volunteer their time to be a part of this, so it's a blessing to have them with us. But when they join us, they call in, and we'll be talking. They'll be sharing their thoughts. Hails out of the northern part of the state of Alabama. A young man, the coach of a middle school team that's won six out of the last seven city championships up in Huntsville, Alabama. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. Hells in central Alabama. We have two individuals. They are millennials. And that's my daughter. So proud to have her joining us as well. And she do that. She makes sure she do it from time to time. Yes, time to time. She's working, has a job as a coach, and a lot of time they practice. It's a little later time, so it'd be hard to get in, but she do make an effort. That's a millennium, and the lady of the hour, that's Coach Lauren D. Smith. I also have another millennium, a young man that works also in central Alabama, Coach Cameron Gilmer. Also, we have a young man from south central Alabama and hails down in a little place called Laverne, Alabama. He said, thank you for joining us. He retired from the Alabama High School Athletic Association as an associate executive director in 2018, and none other than our resident high school expert, Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth. And last but not least, this young man hails from South Alabama. He's our radio personality. He's known pretty much as the Don King of everything. He's a conductor of the E-Train. Hails from Fort Walton Beach all the way up to Montgomery, from Montgomery over to Troy, from Troy to Dothan, and makes it home in Alabama. None other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. So those are individuals who will be joining me as we move on with the show. So we'll take an opportunity when they do call in. They're just, you know, we'll plug them in so they make sure they share their thoughts. Now, the title tonight is Let's Talk Some Winning Football. Before I move forward, I want to make sure I can share with you some advertisement that I appreciate these individuals want to allow to be a part of our shows. On tomorrow night, which is Thursday night, if you're looking for a hot spot to enjoy happy hours from 5 to 9, check out the 50-50 Club, Old School Thursday, 129 Montgomery Street, Montgomery, Alabama. Drink special, as well as there's no cover charge. So come on and have a ball. Enjoy yourself with the team that's down there. And that's the 50-50 Club located in Montgomery, Alabama, for Old School Happy Hour from 5 to 9 p.m. And again, that's 129 Montgomery Street, Montgomery, Alabama. So check them out on Thursday night, and you can have a ball. All right, let's kind of move with less talk some winning football. We're going to move to our focus. Now, the focus of this show is of being the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we want to kind of grab hold and focus on that historical black college and university spotlight. Now, each of these divisions or these conferences are now and already have settled their champions for 2019. We're going to start with the Southwest Athletic Conference, which is a FCS school. Last weekend, there was a game between Southern, who represented Southern University, out of Baton Rouge, representing the western part of the Southwest Athletic Conference, taking on Alcorn State University, who represented the eastern division of the conference last Saturday at 3 o'clock p.m., and the winner of that game was Alcorn State University. So Alcorn State University is a 2019 SWAC champion back-to-back. So we applaud Alcorn. They also received the bid to go play in the Celebrity Bowl, 2019 Celebrity Bowl in Atlanta. So you can check them out, and that should be in a week or so. You can go up to Atlanta and have a ball with the historical black colleges and university from the SWAC standing, the representative from the SWAC, as well as they're competing against the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. And the winner of that, or the representative of that, the regular season, due to some discrepancy with the actually champion, North Carolina A&T is the one that will represent the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, in that Celebration Bowl. So you'll have an outstanding game between Alcorn State University and North Carolina A&T. Now, the regular season champion, however, they were ineligible to participate in the postseason of conference championship, was FAMU, Florida A&M University, with a record of 92-71. However, they was not able to participate in the championship game, so they decided to just recognize North Carolina A&T as the champion of the MEAC, or the representative of the MEAC. So you have a big ball game, the celebration. So those are two FCS football championship subdivisions, which is Division I AA. We have two conferences, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference, winner Alcorn State University, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, winner would be North Carolina A&T. So we look forward to seeing an outstanding game between those two teams. Now, one of the questions that and discussion topics we wanted to focus on tonight was the MEAC and the SWAC not having representatives in the NCAA FCS championship playoff. And some people asked that question, had several calls, why are those schools not able to send a representative? One of the key things is that when the playoff committee got together for the FCS, they had a cutoff date for each of those teams to play. Your conference should have your games completed by this date, and that's normally the third Saturday. And what happened this year is, and every year with the SWAC, which is Southwest Athletic Conference, is that you have a big ball game that goes the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And that's down in New Orleans called the Bayou Classic between Southern University and Grambling State University. And Southern University won that game this year as well. So that game automatically disqualified the SWAC from participating in the FCS championship playoff. And also, you have another team that two teams from the SWAC that play as well on Thanksgiving, and which is the homecoming of Alabama State University. And since they play their homecoming on Thanksgiving, been doing it traditionally for many, many, many years, they also help disqualify the SWAC from participating in the championship of the FCS. Now, the problem with the MEAC this year, which they did not get a bid, even though they should have gave the bid to North Carolina A&T, because of FAMU winning, because of Florida A&M winning the regular season, had the best record, they declared that that conference wouldn't have a representative. So by being disqualified for conference championship and any kind of postseason play, you jeopardize your conference from participating in the playoff. So that's one of the things they have to look at in both of those conferences, which is the SWAC and the MEAC. All right, we're going to move to the Division II Historical Black Colleges and University Conference. You have the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. The winner this year was Miles College. They're the 2019 SIAC football champion, also back-to-back. They won it last year as well, and they had an opportunity to receive this bid to go to the NCAA Division II Football Championship playoff. Miles had an opportunity, went and lost to Lenoir Rhines 36-7, which ended an outstanding season. So we're going to say hoorah to Miles College. But the individuals on Facebook said, where is Miles College? That's in Birmingham, Alabama, a little small school that's located in Birmingham, Alabama, traditionally well known. However, they was able to get a chance to go to the playoff and lost in that first round. In the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, you have Bowie State, who finished this season 11-0. They received their third consecutive NCAA Division II playoff berth. They hosted Carson Newman in that first round, and they end up losing to Carson Newman. The score was 17-9. So, again, an outstanding season for Bowie State. So those representatives for the historical black college and university are those champions of each of those conferences. You have the Southwest Athletic Conference champion for 2019, Alcorn State University. For the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, the champion is who received the bid to go to the Celebration Bowl in North Carolina A&T. You have the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. You have Miles College. And last but not least, you have the CIAA, which is Bowie State, who also received a bid to go to the playoffs. So we say congratulations to each one of those schools in their community for having a successful season. And everybody else that participated in their conference, in each one of their conference, we're going to applaud you for giving a stellar effort to be successful. And all we can say, next year you can fight hard for the 2020 conference championship and also receive a bid to the playoff Division II or even FCS. Okay, we're going to move to our coach's corner. We're going to kind of recap. Still waiting on my team to join me, and then slowly they'll call me and let me know. Either they'll text me and let me know. We're going to recap the 2019 Iron Bowl. Somebody said, well, that's a couple weeks ago, but one of the things about it, we didn't have a show after that during that week. So what we want to do is come and talk a little bit about it. Now, it was an outstanding game played to the highest level. You had the game between Auburn University and the University of Alabama. The University of Alabama came in the game 10-1, ranked fifth in the college football playoff ranking. Ended up losing the game 48-45. That is a rival in the state of Alabama that actually splits families to the point that you get on one side of the house or the other side of the house, or you get an opportunity. And I see one of my team members joining now, and I want to give them a shout-out and get them started up. We have joining us to talk a little bit about the Iron Bowl 2019, as well as if you want to go back and touch on the historical black college and university spotlight. We have Hales from North Alabama. We already mentioned his name, but we like to give him the right shout-out. He's the truly king and the champion up in the middle school level of Huntsville, Alabama, with all the back-to-back championships in the middle school and basketball, as well as competing championships in football. None other than our king, Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
How you doing tonight, Dr. Smith? Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you, my man. I tell you, it's good to have you on here. You know, this is wonderful Wednesday, hump day, so we're going to get over today. And I know y'all had some snow up in y'all area right there, so I know y'all, that was a small challenge for you all. So we do appreciate you taking time to join us tonight, and First of all, you get an opportunity to share some thoughts. We talked about the champions of each realm of the historical black colleges and universities naming their champion, which was for the SWAC, you have Alcorn State University, as well as the NEAC, you had really North Carolina A&T. Now, FAMU had the best record, but they was not qualified to be champion. Then you had, for the SIAC, you had Miles College back-to-back, a little small school up in Birmingham. Then the CIAA, you had Bowie State. And then we was touching bases on the Iron Bowl. Start where you may. Coach, you can share your thoughts on each one of them. Coach, you still there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here, Dr. Smith.
Okay. Just share your thoughts on each one of the champions out of the historical black college as well as the Iron Bowl, if you want to.
Okay. Iron Bowl. Never thought that game would go that high. Dr. Smith, I'm just lost for words with it. I don't think Alabama did what they needed to do as far as mentally for that game, man. I think we lost it mentally just by calling the right plays. I think we should have ran the ball more in the goal line situation instead of trying to throw the ball to the end zone. Even though Auburn was grabbing and pulling and tugging us down, but I still think on some of the plays we should have ran the ball to help our second-string quarterback. So we lost it by total of 3 points. Some 3 points came back to hunt us. But I'm ready for next year. Getting ready for next year. Yeah, I'm ready, Dr. Smith. We would have made the playoff if we would have won that game. I don't think we would have been ready for what been hit us in the playoff. Now, I'm going to say this, Dr. Smith. We would have ran into LSU again. So I think that game might have came out different. But I was tired of cheering. They exhausted me this November month and early December month. So I was done. Two losses in November. That was enough for me. Well, yeah. Well, was it December 1st when we played Auburn, Dr. Smith, or was it the 20th, the 30th of November, or 29th?
Last day of the month of November.
Sorry. Yeah, November, terrible month for Bama fans. Terrible month. Let's go on to the SWAC. Controversial calls again, Dr. Smith. I watched the SWAC championship last weekend. Southern clearly had that first down. Referees called it back, called the man short. The man looked like he got the first down by a yard and a half, and they called him short. So I think they need to move the SWAC back. Not saying the officials were from Alcorn, but I feel like that's a home field advantage. I think it should be at a neutral site. If we're going to play a SWAC championship, I think it should be at a neutral site. I don't think it's fair for it to go to the team with the best record home place. I just don't think that's fair. SWAC, let's shoot out a little money and go and rent us a place and have the game at a neutral site. Doesn't matter where, it needs to be neutral. We could have kept it at Houston if we're going to keep doing it like this. I feel like we could need a neutral site. MEAC, like you said, Dr. Smith, FAMU was the best team in the MEAC. Due to them not following rules, they couldn't represent the MEAC in the Soul Bowl. We call it the MEAC versus the SWAC. That's the old school heritage. The old school heritage bowl, Soul Bowl. But that's it. Shout out to Miles. How's Miles doing in the D3 playoffs?
The D2, they lost in the first round, but they did receive a bid. They lost to Lenoir Ryan 36-7, but they had an opportunity to go back to back and be also crowned champions back to back. So that's awesome for Miles out of Birmingham, Alabama, Coach.
Okay. Well, shout out to Miles for winning the SIAC. They won the SIAC. So, like you said, Dr. Smith, those are the teams we went through. That's it. Shout out to Alabama for landing the top offensive lineman in the state today. Xavier Young.
Okay.
Xavier Young from Central Phoenix City. That's a big shout out for him. Let me shoot down a good shout out somewhere.
Yeah, Coach, I hear you. But you know, that'll lead us to what we're going to talk about a little bit later. But we're going to talk about it now, about maybe Alabama may not be as dominant as they were before, because they this year didn't get an opportunity to be in the college playoff, football playoff. Have they lost some of their dominancy? Have they lost the opportunity to dominate everybody? What do you think about that, Coach? Because a lot of the talking heads and pundits say they're not dominant like that. Their reign is over with, and it's time to them take a step back. And even I had a couple people talk yesterday, I talked with yesterday, said they'll probably fall back even further next year because of the schedule. And the schedule includes having Georgia playing Georgia as well as playing LSU. So, which they play every year. So, until they can accomplish the task of consistently beating Auburn, that's in their conference, or LSU, they may have to take a step back. What you think about that, Coach?
Dr. Smith, we're not worried about that. We're going to do what Alabama does. Alabama lost two games this year, Dr. Smith. Like I said, I put a post on Facebook. I said, raise your hand if your team won 10 games this year. A lot of people can't raise their hands, Dr. Smith.
Okay.
Disaster season is two losses for Alabama. When your goals are set at a high standard like that, it's hard for your team to fall off a pedestal. We'll be in suicide mode if we go 7-5 one year. I mean, that's the norm for some teams on the other side over there. So, I mean, they're content with a 5-loss schedule. But when Alabama does that, we lose two games, one or two games. We okay, Dr. Smith. Like I said, injuries played this team this year. If we would have had the right defensive guys ready to go this year, I would have said, let's get this playoff run. But when all those guys were hurting, I'm watching Auburn score 40 points on them. It's time for us to go, Dr. Smith. Let's put these tough puppies up and get them ready for next year. But at the end of the day, Dr. Smith, from what I'm seeing, Alabama has not lost no spunk. They actually gained spunk with this kid today. It put Alabama the number one in the recruiting trail. So they're number one up there now, with this top-ranked lineman in the state of Alabama. So was originally committed to Auburn. So he came on to Alabama anyway. He committed from Auburn and came to Alabama. So that's a plus. But like I said, Dr. Smith, the fight, I don't fight with Auburn. I just talk about the Georgia fans, how they troll us every game and they beat us since forever. And it's been 30, 40 years since they won a national championship. So, you know, the fight with me is not – it's not Auburn. I mean, they won, but I mean, that's a understatement. Like I said, I brought up a post the other day too about Auburn had 47 losses to Alabama, 14 losses in the last 10 years. So they're irrelevant right now, Dr. Smith. I'm gonna say that.
Okay, coach. All right, coach. Let's kind of, you was talking about something. I want us to kind of go back and I'll share my thoughts on that. Because of what happened this year with the University of Alabama, do you think they, in the eyes of the public, will lose a step or two? And I know you was briefly saying that they're going to be all right. But truly, truly, when you look at even though signing the number one player and going to have the number one class, would you look at maybe Nick Saban getting a little bit too old? Is it something going on right there? Are someone using these ways of, this man will be 70 years old very soon. Do you want your son to go play for him? Is you see something in recruiting going on like that, or do you see that the players have a disconnect with Nick Saban at the University of Alabama that may lead to them not being as dominant as it was these last 9 or 10 years? What's your thoughts on that, Coach?
I feel like if you want to be the best, you're going to have to play for the best, Dr. Smith. Nick Saban still is the most prolific coach I've ever seen in my lifetime. He's doing things that I've never seen done before, top-ranked recruiting classes year after year. 5 championships in 10 years. That's almost unheard of in my generation. I can't say to your generation because it was a lot of guys, you know, the Jackie Robinsons, the Paul Bell Bryants, the Lou Holtz, you know, that can be characterized in those categories. But Nick Saban is one of the best coaches I've ever seen with the game. Does a great job of recruiting. I think this coaching turnover ratio gets us half the time. It's getting maybe the best teams with the coach turnover. You know, a lot of guys think they're ready to be a head coach. They're not ready. Just calm down, coach your position until you get straight. Now, I can't knock those guys. I can't knock Kirby for going out and going on his own and competing at a high level. But the key with Kirby is he's still in that early 2000 mode where they're built exactly like Alabama used to be. Like the Georgia team is exactly like an old Alabama team before the revamp Saban went through. But as far as the blueprint for Georgia, they Bama. They built by Bama. They are the exact epitome of a 2012 Bama team. They can't stop a spread, but they can stop you on the run. Now you can run the ball, and they're gonna tear you up. But if you spread them out, they can't get to the quarterback. They're not built like that. So they're built like an Alabama team, and that's the DNA of an old Alabama team, which was built by Kirby Smart. So I can't knock that. So shouts out to that, but Nick Saban is going to be just fine, Dr. Smith.
All right, Dan, because we had a comment on said Nick Saban is the most healthy man out there. You know, we know he is. He's 69, he's going to be 70, but recruiting is a tough thing. And yes, if they continue to get the players, but the turnover, as Coach Edwards said, is the biggest problem. You can't keep on flipping coaches and coaches leaving. Some of them you can't control because if you win a championship and you feel like you're ready, you want to step out, you may not do any more, but you step out and go try to give your opportunity and see, can you be a head coach? I'm not going to take that away, but that does create problems even with the players because you get a new system coming in and their system may not be the same where those guys recruited to fit in and they're doing real well and this year is the year you'll call a down year because of the two losses so far and you can say that, but you got to be realistic when you have, you know, always as a coach, and I coached for a long time, and I say I can be successful. I can have all the best plays, the best philosophy. I can have the best strategy. But if I don't have the Jimmy and the Joes, I'm not going to be able to be successful. I have to have a few Jimmy and Joes. And when you have one or two Jimmy and Joes or three or four Jimmy and Joes at that situation, 30 and 40 Jimmy and Joes, you're always going to be at the top. So you're going to continue to be dominant. You're going to continue to make people catch up with you. A lot of teams, Clemson is there, just about there. Ohio State is up and down. You know, LSU, you know, we'll see in a couple of years, 1 year, when you get the right combination and you move forward with not knocking LSU. LSU done well. I applaud them. Congratulations. They went through the season. They literally came to Tuscaloosa, beat Alabama, but we'll move into the college football playoff. I really think they'll be there in the end and may not. I don't know whether they're going to raise the trophy up, but they'll be there in the end. But the bottom line is that you got to be over from year to year to year. So we'll kind of see how that turns out. So I still think the dumbness of Alabama is still in existence, and they will return next year. All right, Coach, we're going to look at the college football playoff committee. You know, we're going to look at the college playoff committee. Did they get it right? Tell me what you think on that, Coach. I'm going to let you share your thoughts, and I'm going to come back and share my thoughts on it, whether they got it right in those top 14 or the complete 25 rankings.
They got the top four right now. I don't agree with the rankings out of there. I don't see how Alabama lose two games, and they right behind a three-loss Auburn team, even though they got beat by Auburn team. I just don't understand that. You know, I understand it by 1 week, but the next week I think Alabama should have been shot put it up at least to a 9-10 range. But for them to do that, we fine. That's more aggression and build up for next year. So we got to handle business, do what we need to do, and we'll roll. But if the top four, they got it exactly right. Georgia lost, opened the door up for Oklahoma. So all Oklahoma had to do was win. If Oklahoma would have lost, it would have been ugly. Now, it might have trickled on down. Auburn might have slid in there. Something. It got ugly after that, man.
Yeah, anything can happen after that point. So we'll look at that and see that the committee did get it right. Some people didn't think they got it right last week. You got a few people think Ohio State should still be ranked number one. But think about it. They got a blank sheet of paper each week, and they select a team based on your performance, based on your resume, based on the eye test. Because just remember, they sit there and watch those games last weekend. And by selecting LSU over Ohio State, LSU just blitzed Georgia. And Georgia's probably had the top defense, one of the top defense, whereas Ohio State struggled with Wisconsin. So you have to look at that, and that's how everybody afraid of playing Clemson, because the top four consists of Louisiana State University at number one. You have Ohio State at number two, Clemson at number three, and Oklahoma at number four. So Oklahoma and LSU will be playing over in Atlanta, and then you have Clemson and Ohio State will be out in Santa Clara, so at Fiesta Bowl. So that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a good playoff, as well as the other bowl standings, some of the people in the bowl. One of the games that are going to be possibly looking at, a lot of people say that it might not be a game. And I want your thoughts on it, Coach Edwards. You know, a lot of players think about that draft stock now, and they're not going to play in the bowl. Will that hurt teams like Alabama and those other teams who are not playing in the Final Four? What's your thoughts on that, Coach?
No, Dr. Smith, it's not going to hurt them. The game basically mean nothing. It's almost like a spring game for your up-and-coming crew. So if these guys want not to get hurt and want to sit out, let them sit out. I mean, they ain't getting paid to play, and it's their right. So if they don't want to go out there, that's fine. Let's get these young guys, up-and-coming guys, get them acclimated against a caliber team, and we'll go for it.
Exactly. And that's a choice. And it becomes a business decision. That's one of the things you think about Tua, what decision. You're even having some pundits and talking here say he might come back, because looking at the draft, I think he dropped down to probably 25th or 26th, but he's going projected to go to New Orleans Saints. So, you know, Drew Brees not going to be there much longer. And I think Teddy's going to be in a trade. His value went up when he played well. So if he takes this 1 year to get himself back through the training facility and get himself stronger, then he come back after this hip injury and as well as the ankle injury, then we'll kind of see. Well, some people say he'll come back to Alabama, and some people say, what is the game? You know, he can gain, if he's drafted first or second or third, he's going to gain $21 million. He will only get six if he's drafted in the lower half of the draft choice. And that's a business decision. Is your body your body going to be up to par? Everybody says he's very frail. And that's some of the things you want to look at when he makes the decision to come back. Being reminded on here, 26, a guy that projected to be up to my tour, 26 in the draft. He went from probably number three or four, or number two or number one to 26. This is what this injury means to him. Is it worth coming back next year? You can think about it. You can share your thoughts on call-in numbers 347-857-4192. You can comment on Facebook, but you can also call in and share your thoughts as well. If you want to share your thought, press 1. I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give your name and location, offer your expertise. All right, we're going to kind of move to the crowning of the champions of the Five Power Conference. Start off with the SEC, which is Southeastern Conference. You have Louisiana State, being crowned champion of the SEC. We have the ACC champion, Clemson. And, Coach, I want you to kind of give me some thoughts about that game between Clemson and Virginia. The disparity between the Coastal and Atlantic champion playing each other and playing Clemson and being blown out like that. What's your thoughts on that, Coach?
Terrible game, Dr. Smith. That conference is it really got some thinking to do with what they need to do to make it caliber again. with everybody, the way they are, Florida State down, Miami down, that's tough sled, Dr. Smith. You got to look. The only loss I'm going to say them having was against Syracuse and a loss against Pitt. Now, that's the only two losses that I remember Clemson having in a span of 5 years, Dr. Smith.
Exactly.
So they got to revamp themselves if they want to be legit. Come on to the SEC. You right there in South Carolina. Come on to the SEC. Make yourself relevant. They need to bring a partner with them. You know how I say, come to the club with a friend. They got to come, come to the club with a friend. But that ACC won't help them. And you know, Dabo is taking it personal. But, Dr. Smith, I can't fight for them right there because they, you know, everybody sit up here and holler at who Alabama ain't played. Got a cupcake schedule. Clemson ain't played nobody, Dr. Smith. I don't care what nobody said. That ACC is awesome.
Yes, sir. And it is something to think about, too, as well. But unless the team decide to get better and catch up with them, they're going to stand pretty much out in front of everybody. That's Clemson for the ACC. They're the champions 2019. Also in the college football playoff. You have the Big Ten, but Ohio State was crowned champion of the Big Ten. They beat Wisconsin this past weekend. The Big 12, you had Oklahoma beating Baylor for the second time. So Oklahoma crowned the Big 12. Those teams are mentioned in the championship playoff. And then you have the Pac-12 champion, and you have Oregon winning that. So Oregon got some things they can do over there, and they're looking better on that end. So it's going to be an awesome game to start the season next year. You got several games, but that game between USC and Alabama is going to be a big ball game next year, I tell you, to start off in 2020. That's going to kind of determine which direction the program, because the coach of USC, Clay Hilton, they was talking about firing him, but they said he was a dead man walking, but apparently he pulled it off with winning ball games and ended up, I believe, 8-4. So that was awesome for him. So he's back next year, but he'll start it off and see if the naysayers will start talking more about getting rid of him next year if he don't be successful in their first game. All right, Heisman Watch. You know, we then identified four players to go to New York this weekend to represent the Heisman and the winner. At this point, all the talking here and pundits saying that is Joe Burrow's out of LSU with a landslide, a big landslide, by the largest win as possible. But the other candidate that's going, maybe they don't need to go, but they're going to enjoy it. You have Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. You have Justin Fields from Ohio State and Chase Young from Ohio State. So you have those four teams. My thing is, should some other players been selected, and I can call off one that I'm going to speak highly of, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. Jonathan Taylor had over 2,000 yards rushing. Now, we can say what we want to say about it, but it's not easy to gain 2,000 yards and don't even get an invite 3 years. It's been 3 years. He has right at about 6,000 yards. He had been invited to come to the Heisman. So sometimes being the best where you are don't always get you an invite to the Heisman. Coach Trey, what do you think about that, sir?
I agree totally. It's a quarterback-dominated trophy. That's all you see up there. That you said the finalists are mostly, you know, top ranking quarterbacks. So they're leaving off a lot of running backs. Leaving them off because they haven't had an exceptional year. Like you said, Jonathan Taylor has over 2,000 yards rushing. He almost has to have 40, 50 touchdowns for him to be in the consideration for this.
That's awesome. People don't realize that's hard work. You know, your body's going through that bouncing and being, and it's not all outside. He runs up between the tackles, so I thought he should have been. Also, Dobbins from Ohio State, I think, should have been invited as well. So in a year, it might be good to have three. Next year, it might be good to have six. But like I said, it may not be no need when you already have crowned through the punters and talking heads that Joe Burrow would win it with a landslide. So there's no need in bringing everybody over there if you're not going to give them an opportunity. So, you know, and the voting is okay. I kind of like for them to kind of complete the year and try to do some things. I know they complete the regular season through the championship, but I just think that it's something's not hitting quite right. But they said this has been awesome this year with the voting. So what we're going to do is make sure we recognize it. So, you know, winning the Heisman will most like our prediction and everybody else's prediction is Joe Burrow, LSU, and congratulations to him. All right, Coach Trey, we're going to kind of touch on some high school athletics and playoff. And I want you to kind of share, and I'm going to share two games with the Alabama High School Athletic Association playoffs. Our resident expert is not here right now, but I do believe he's making an effort trying to get with us, so we hopefully he can come in and share some thoughts. But I had a chance to attend a game up in Auburn because the playoff was played at Auburn University in Jordan-Hare Stadium over there. And that was on a Wednesday when you had, Thompson going against Central Phoenix City. And it was, from the start, no one wanted to stop the other team. They either turned the ball over to an interception. Thompson finally got the wheels up on them, and they began to roll. The final score was somewhere like 41-7. So we applaud Thompson for winning the 2019 7A state championship. Also, I want to give a shout out for Lynette High School. The Panthers was able to win their second state championship out of 3 years. And it's a shout-out because he's one of my frat brothers. I want to give him a shout-out. It looks like I'm losing my setup here, and I don't know what happened with it, but I really hate I lost my people. And it keeps going on and out. But we'll continue to talk and share our thoughts. Something is going on with my internet in regard to my Facebook. So, well, it looks like we're having a few problems with that. But Coach Trey, since we're on Blog Talk Radio, so those people on Facebook that we lost, we want to kind of look at any other teams in the Alabama High School Athletic Association that may end up winning a championship, especially up in North Alabama.
Dr. Smith, I don't think we had two men, the OPL that pulled that out. We got Oxford. I'm going to say that. I think we had Oxford. They pulled it out against who did they play, Dr. Smith?
Spanish Fort.
They pulled it out against Spanish Fort. That might be the only one north of the center line that do something of him. I know the ball's been rolled out, Dr. Smith. These are playing some basketball now, Dr. Smith. And they playing it.
Basketball, see. So, I really, really hate it. I was trying to get our Facebook back, Trey, but we kind of lost Facebook. But, yeah, and then you had Fife to be able to win. If I'm not mistaken, Fife won the 3A state championship. You also had as you mentioned, Oxford to win that 6A championship. There were several others that played and was outstanding ball game all weekend. And I want to give a shout out with the to the Florida state champion. And we had a few crowned 1-3A in the state of Florida. I played the game December 5th through the 17th over in Tallahassee. You had the 1A champion, Madison City, 2A champion, Champaign Catholic, 3A champion, Chaminade Madonna, and they played the 1, 2, and 3A last weekend. This weekend, you will have the 4A, 5A, 6A, and 7A. You have Washington out of Miami in the 4A taking on Bowles out of Jacksonville. On tonight, they're playing tonight, 5A Jones taking on Miami Northwestern on Saturday at 12 o'clock noon. Miami Central is taking on Escambia out of Pensacola on tomorrow at 7 o'clock. 7A, you got Edgewater taking on St. Thomas Aquinas out of Fort Lauderdale on Saturday at 7 p.m. In the 8A, you have Columbus out of Miami taking on Apopkas on Friday night at 7 o'clock. So that's the Florida 4A, 5A, 6A, 7A, and 8A. For the Georgia High School Football Championship, starting on Friday and Saturday over in Georgia, you have Urban County in the 1A taking on Marion County, 2A Brooks County taking on Dublin for the 2A, Cedar Grove taking on Chris County, 3A Bless Trinity taking on Oconee County for the 4A, 5A Buford taking on Warner Robins, Altoona taking on Harrison, which is a 6A, and 7A Marietta taking on Lowndes. So those are the games that will be played this weekend in Georgia. You also, the South Carolina have crowned their champion in each one of the classes. The 1A and 2A was played at Benedict College, and you have Green Sea Floyd end up beating Ridge Spring Manetta. You have Saluda beating Bronwell to win the 2A. And the 3A through 5A was played at the University of South Carolina Bryce Stadium. You had Chapman playing Dillon, and Chapman won that. Renz playing Mirror Beach, and Renz won that one. And Dorman was playing Dutch Fork, and Dutch Fork won that one. So those are the games and all the the shout-outs we want to give to those teams. Congratulations. Trey, we're at the end of the hour. We got about 5 or 6 minutes. You want to share some thoughts before we close this out?
Yeah, I'll share some thoughts. debating with guys over I went to watch J.D. Davidson from Calhoun, five-star 2021 prospect. He played against Tommy Murr. Kid up here that goes to Lindsay Lane, and he's at a 1A school. Big time debate, man. I've been hit with the. My question is, J.D. Davidson is averaging right at probably 41, 42 points, and Tommy Murr is averaging 29. If you don't know Tommy Murr is the leading scorer in Alabama history. Tommy Murr is the leading scorer in the nation of United States history, high school. I'm just wondering why this kid is not being accounted for a McDonald All-American bid. People try to come at me about who he's playing against or whatnot. The guy averages 49 points. I don't care if he's playing against middle schoolers, elementary schoolers. You still got to put about in the rack. But my main concern is, I look at Alabama and Auburn. Why are they not offering? This kid doesn't have an Alabama or Auburn offer. He's committed to Lipscomb. I don't know how we let this guy get out the state. It could have went to anybody. He could have went to UAH. He could have went to UAB. Anybody. but we let this guy get out of state. He went to Lipscomb right outside of right there in Nashville. But he's playing for a hometown coach, Lenny Acuff. He used to be at UAH. So I see why he went, but I don't understand why Alabama is not reaching out to this guy. Michael Clayton, maybe he can fill it up. Maybe he has 45, 47 points. Young LeBron has 42. So, and that's playing against JD. So, he can fill it up. I don't care who out there. You know, I've been hearing stories of it's not about what you do in high school. It's about what you do on the circuit. This guy averaged 10 points on the circuit. I'm trying to see how many points can get average on the circuit. Like I told him, you got a bunch of reclasses on the circuit. Guys that have been held back to participate in them games to get ahead as far as mental, physical, and just tell me, man, just look at yourself. If you can be set back a year, you're going to be that much smarter and stronger than all the kids that's coming up around you. But him averaging 10 points on the circuit is great to me for a point guard. But I'm still trying to understand this recruiting aspect, this basketball recruiting aspect, because I don't see why he's not getting the Alabama at all in office. Just off watching him play, watching his wheel, and watching what he's doing. So trying to figure that out, Dr. Smith. So I probably will have some answers later on this week or next week, this Wednesday, to see why this guy is not getting the big-time offers that he's supposed to get. And another thing, too, Dr. Smith, what's that running back at Dale? Is it Daleville?
Daleville.
That has the 4,000 yards, total yards?
Yeah, Dale.
I'm still waiting on to see what's going on with him. Like, why isn't he getting the offers?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But that's it, Dr. Smith. That's all I got for tonight. Big time game for my girls tomorrow. My girls, Chapman Indian girls, playing against the William Hawks girls. It's a big time game for number one in the conference in the in our city. This is a regular season game competing for the number one ranking for tournament play later on in January, end of January, early February. So when that happens tomorrow, I'll keep y'all updated and let y'all know next Wednesday. But that's it. Dr. Smith, you have a great night, and I'll be on the next week, baby.
All right. That's awesome. Thank you, Coach, for joining us tonight. You know, we had Facebook for those individuals joining us now. We was up on Facebook, had a blackout, and I rebooted up, and we back again on Facebook. And we had over about 45 people on Facebook checking it out before. So with something about tuning back in, but I do appreciate you on the second part of closing of our show. We're getting ready to close. A couple things I want to share. Now, if you're in the central part of Alabama and looking for somewhere to go on Thursday night, you can go to 5050 Club, and it has the old school happy hour from 5 to 9. And I keep losing it, and I guess we're not going to be able to talk much about that and keep up with those people on Facebook, but I'm going to have to work on unloading some of these things on Facebook. But we also have that opportunity to go to happy hours at 5050 located 129 Montgomery Street, Montgomery, Alabama, drink special and no cover charge. Come out and relax and party. Smithway Production will be there. We're going to make it do what it do. On Friday night, we have Brent's Wing. You can check them out on Brent's Wing. Check them out at Brent's Wing located in Montgomery, Alabama, as well as 5050, the best wings in town. On the turntable, you have DJ Big Ox, and he'll be making it, doing the ones and two from 7 to 12. And parking is limited as well as seating, so make sure you get there early from 7 o'clock to 12. 12 midnight, you can have a ball at 3133 Bell Road, Montgomery, Alabama, 36116. That's Brian's Wing. Also, my new book will be released on the 20th of December, Don't Be Scared to Love. And the cost of that book is $20, and it's talking real talk about love. And we want you to be a part of a great gift for a friend, great gift for a significant other, great gift for a husband or wife. Check it out. And you can purchase a book through Cash App, and that's $Lorenza D. Smith, and on PayPal.me, that's Lorenza Smith. So check it out. The cost of $20. If you get it, purchase a book by the 15th, you will be listed as a person in the acknowledgement section as a supporter. We thank you very much. So we had an awesome night on our show. Also, on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, as I mentioned about what's going on at 5050 Club, the old school happy hour, at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a show, the new show, The Love Cafe. And you can check us out. I host that show. We're going to spend about 30 minutes talking about real love topics. And it's going to soothe your appetite because we're going to look at the menu. We're going to start off with the appetizer and the starters, and we'll go to the entree, and we're going to go to dessert. All about love. We're going to talk about love for about 30 minutes tomorrow. So make sure you join us. We look forward to having you on here. We will be on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook. We're going to make sure we can not have the problems we had in regards to Facebook shutting down twice. Like I said, several people. Give a shout out to some of my frat brother and the president, who was my president down in South Florida at the Miami chapter, the Rose Sigma chapter. Terrence Babyhead Gibson was on there with us. Had several other people. We had Roberto Reed, the owner of 5050 Club. He was joining us as well. We had several other, Yvette Smith. We had Lisa Marie Smith. Sherrod had her on there. I'm just calling off. We had Nicole Sharon Brown joining. I'm calling off some names. Judy Smith. We had so many people on there, but we lost the connection, and I'm sort of remembering those individuals. I appreciate you joining us. But join us tomorrow night at 6 o'clock from 6 to 6:30, and we're going to do some real talk about love in the Love Cafe. I host that show. I want you to join us. The call-in number, 347-857-4192, or go to the web link, and we'll tell you more information, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. We look forward to having you. Also, I'm remembering a couple of other people. I saw Karan White. Thank you, Karan, for joining us as well. And we'll slowly try to give a shout out, and I'll go back and make sure I do that because I'm going to write down and record down those names. And for my next show on tomorrow, give them a shout out for joining us. So we look forward to having an awesome time tomorrow. I want you to truly be blessed. My hashtag is keep on grinding. Second hashtag is communicate for understanding. And last but not least, as I play this music, do I do not own the rights to, or we do own the rights to, but it's Before I Let Go with Beyonce. So we'll check you out tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And last but not least, what I want to say, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. So let's go.
Before I let go.